Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church. For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.
Today my sermon title is The Photographer. In the picture of this series, we're doing different things. Last week we talked about being in focus, being out of focus, and today we're going to talk about you are the photographer. You're the one that captures the shot. You're looking through the lens and you're going, this is just right. My brother-in-law, he has an incredible camera, and I have the same camera. I thought that if I bought the same camera he had, that I could do what he could do, and boy, was I ever wrong. I shoot better pictures with my iPhone than I do with this really expensive camera. Jason has the ability to see it and delight it. And it's just unbelievable what he can do. In fact, recently they told me, my mother-in-law told me the other day, she said, you know what, you know how they bought that RV? Yeah. You know how they're traveling all over doing fun stuff? Do you know that the RV company saw the pictures of his RV that he posted online, and they have now hired him, and they are paying him to go on vacation to take pictures of RVs around the world? I'm like, what? What's up with that? I got the camera, but he's got the eye for the shot. I'm here to tell you today that Martin Luther King had an eye for the shot. He was called to do something that only he could do, and he's the guy that had the dream. I have a dream where my four children are going to live in harmony, in equality. And this nation will change because I have a dream. The dream wasn't comfortable. The dream cost him a lot. He knew that he wasn't going to live out his days because of the dream. He knew that his kids had targets on their head because of the dream. When you have a dream, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It just means that you're the photographer. You have the shot. So my encouragement to you today is to take the shot that God has given you. Genesis 37, verse 5, we pick up a dreamer here, Joseph. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I dreamed. I want to caution you about telling your dream to just anybody and everybody. Oftentimes, people will not understand your dream because it's not their dream. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not your dream. See, they don't have to understand your dream. Sometimes through insecurity, inferiority, we try to convince people that our dream's a good dream, and we want them to invest in our dream, celebrate our dream. Sometimes I think we waste time trying to talk to other people about our dream and trying to convince them that it's a good dream instead of following him and say, God, where you guide, you provide. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. I often read the Bible and come across this scripture. It says, don't cast your pearls before swine. In other words, don't give your good idea to a bunch of pigs that are going to trample it under your feet and try to make you feel like a fool, saying things like, who do you think you are? Well, you'll automatically go into defense mode and say, well, I think I'm Martin Luther King and I have a dream. I think I'm, don't waste your time trying to convince them. Try to acknowledge him and allow your dream to become a reality, because when the dream happens, long after you're gone, if it's a true dream and it's a dream from God, and I believe it is, it'll live on. People will live in your dream. They will acknowledge your dream. They will enjoy your dream. So number one is, as the photographer, don't try to convince people that your dream's a good one. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you how to win friends and influence people. One of the things that Joseph did was he decreased the popularity with his brothers by telling them, someday you're going to bow before me, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to take care of you. The brothers are like, what? You're straight up cray-cray, man. Who do you think you are? You're no different than us. But then his father loved him, and he placed, out of those 11 sons, he placed the coat of favor on Joseph. Do you know sometimes people like you until you get a new coat? Come on, somebody ought to say. They were fine with you till you got that corner office. You were best of buddies till you got a car with power windows. You were cool, and they were cool with you until you got that new weave. And then they wanted to weave you alone because they freaked out because of what God did for your life. Jealousy. The Bible says, what stirs up strife? It says, envy and strife. Envy and, wait, okay, there's a key. Envy is that which connects people and causes them to not like you. He says, please listen to my dream. Please listen. Come on, brothers, listen to my dream. And they stripped him of his coat, and they threw him in a pit. He had the dream. I have a dream. I'm going to the palace. And then he woke up in the pit. Anybody ever had a dream to go to the palace and you woke up in the armpit of life? He's in the pit. Now, what's really cool and I find interesting about Joseph and the fact that he was brilliant, he didn't stay in the pit going, God, I don't know why I'm in this pit. This is horrible. I'm never going to ever get over this being in the pit. His brothers dipped his coat in blood, took it back to his dad. His dad's crying, oh my God, I lost my son, the one I loved. Now the brothers even hate him more. We knew he loved him more. Thank God we threw him away. Then, because the dream was in him and not on him. I'm going to say it again. The dream is in you, not necessarily on you. So that means if you lost your wife, you lost your house, you lost your car. And listen, you can get the stuff back. Just don't lose your dream. If you can hold on to your dream can pull you into your future, but you have to hold on to the dream. Somebody ought to help me. You can lose the weight. You can get the marriage back. Okay, they left, but there's somebody that's going to love you. Somebody's going to love you. And this new thing that God's doing in you, if you don't focus on the bad thing that happened to you, you get out of the pit. I like the story of the cherished little mule that lived with people forever, and they loved it, and they needed to put it down because it had a broken leg. They said, we don't have the heart, and they gave it to a friend. Friend threw it in the big pit in town where they threw trash on it. And every day they would throw new trash on it to try to bury it alive, and the old mule would shake it off and stomp on it and shake it off and stomp on it. It wasn't 2 weeks, so the mule just only had to step up just a little bit and walked back home and said, hey, I'm back, homie. You tried to put me down. You tried to throw trash on me, but I shook it off and I stomped on it. He gets up with the presence of mind to say, I was in the pit, but I'm headed for the palace. And now he gets this elevated position. You know the story. Winds up being in Potiphar's house, gets accused of a sexual harassment claim. She rips off his coat. He walks out. One bad thing after another bad thing, but then 10 years passes. Everybody shout 10 years. 10 years. That's a long time and a short time at the same time. If you're over 40, you know what I'm talking about right now. 10 years is a long time when you're waiting to be 16, but it's a short time when you go, crap, I'm going to be 55 in 10 years. Now, 10 years later, he's in the position of power. The dream wasn't just about him, it was somebody else. I know that your dream is from God, and you know it's from God when it's bigger than you. If it's just to get you rich and to bless you and to better you, all those things will probably happen, but that's not the context of the dream. That's not the main goal of the dream. The theme of the dream is bigger than you. It's always for them. Martin Luther King, it was for them. It was for the people. I see a day when our children can, boom, you know the speeches, incredible. He started a movement. Now, Joseph's dream was bigger than him. 10 years later, he's in the position of power. He's right where God wants him to be. And then here comes his 11 brothers. They heard about a place of provision, that a man had a vision and he stored up enough surplus and he could bring provision because of the vision. He was the photographer talking about Joseph. And his 11 brothers line up with all these other people to get fed. And they did not recognize Joseph. 10 years had passed and they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them because they looked the same. Because people without a dream 10 years from now look exactly the way they were when you left them there 10 years ago. But people with a dream say, I'm not who I was, and we can't even visit on the past because I don't want to live back there any longer. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. He changed. He looked at him with mercy and love, and he fed him, and he took care of him. And they were looking when he said, hey, guys, I'm your brother. The one you sold? How many know you're like, oh, snap. He sends them away blessed, and he asks a question. How's my dad? Listen, if you stick with your dream, even when they scoff at your dream and they mock your dream and you say, no, I want you to listen to my dream. Don't worry about them listening to your dream, because you will be able to come back and feed them, help them, redeem them, revive them when the time is right. But if you get so freaked out about the fact that they didn't listen to your dream and they totally stripped your dream and they threw you in a pit, then you're always watching Dr. Phil trying to figure out, how do I help myself? I need Oprah. Okay, it's really cool. It's great that she listened to Oprah. No problem against Dr. Phil. But what you really need is to listen to that still small voice that is speaking through me today saying, hold on to your dream. 2015 is your year. What didn't kill you made you stronger. What can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Height, death, things present, thing to come. Nothing shall separate you from your dream. And if it was easy, everybody would be living their dream, but it's hard. Life's hard, life's tough. So what, we can cry about it? Or we can be motivated? There's a guy named John Hillary Osteen. He started a church called Lakewood out of an abandoned feed store, and he had a dream to start a church in the ghetto of Houston. And watching him on television as a little boy, I remembered it, and I quote it oftentimes. Great it is to dream the dream when stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say at the end, the dream came true. When tomorrow I will have dinner at a little guy's house, his dad, the son of that guy, Joel, and I'll be at his house tomorrow night, and I'll sit across the table from him, and we're hanging out, and then on Tuesday we're going to meet with a bunch of preachers and pour into these guys. And when I look at Joel, and Joel will be the first to tell you, I'm standing on the shoulders of my dad. Standing on the shoulders of my dad who went and saved and went through the Great Depression, but he had a dream to build a church. And he would tell me, Joel, can you see a church of 10,000 people? Little Joel's about this big thinking, my daddy's cray-cray. My daddy's lost his mind. But then, because of the dream, when John went on to be with the Lord, Joel stepped in and literally slipped on his dad's shoes, and every Sunday he would preach in his daddy's literal shoes. For almost 2 years, he wore the same shoes that his daddy preached in, and he felt inadequate, and he didn't think he was qualified, but what he was doing was he was standing on the shoulders of his dad's dream. And today, all around the world, the most downloaded podcast in the world, the Pope of Hope, the person who is bringing the hope to all kinds of people, filling the compact center over 4 times on a weekend, is a little boy who's standing on the shoulders of a poor little man who said, great it is to dream the dream and stand in youth by the starry stream, but the greater thing is to fight life through and say at the end, the dream came true. It's about other people. It's about changing lives. It's about inspiring you. It's about living what God called you to live. Don't convince them of your dream. Just show them. Today I was talking to some people out in the hallway that go to church here, and I was asking about how they met. And I was kind of just doing what I always do. I've noticed that, and this will help you a lot, if you're in sales or in any, you just want to get to know people, there's nothing worse than somebody coming in and telling you all about their dream and who they are, and they didn't even ask your name. Anybody ever had anything like that? You're like, this is all about you. It's not the way you attract favor. I said, how'd you guys meet? Oh, yeah, well, we were in a grocery store, and she goes, let me tell it. He used the oldest line in the world. He came up to me and said, don't I know you from somewhere? Now, you got to picture this guy, 6'7" and played for the Dallas Cowboys. She said, when I looked at him, I thought, if I'd seen you before, I'd remember seeing you. This doesn't work. But over 10 or 15 years later, I forget what they said, they're married. So the line worked. But the point is, I was asking them about their dream, how they arrived at their dream, what their life is about. And I watched their pupils get bigger, and I watched their inflections get bigger. And I didn't have to tell them about my dream because they were sitting in my dream. They were sitting in a chair that I dreamed we'd own. They were sitting in a beautiful glass portico that I never dreamed we would own, but I didn't have to tell them about my dream. I just had to let them sit in my dream, and I got to hear about their dream, and then they got all jazzed and juiced about how they met and where they're going and what's going on. If you want to attract people to you, be attractive to people. How do you do that? Don't talk about you all the time. Here are my dreams. Someday you're going to sit down and you're going to obey me and you're going to bow before me. Nobody wants to hear that. We want to hear your dream. And God wants to hear your dream. So rehearse your dream to yourself, but don't always nurse and rehearse your dream to other people. Because again, it's bigger than you, and your dream will speak for itself. Esther 4:14, actually a very cool plain. I remember the scripture because 4:14 says doesn't eat plain. If you keep quiet at the time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. And who knows, perhaps, that you were made queen for, everybody shout it, such a time as this. One more time, what? Such a time as this? What's kind of cool about this scripture is God's telling Queen Esther, who delivered the Jews, he says, hey, if you don't do it, I'll get somebody else to do it. But I called you to do it. And there's nothing worse than somebody else living your dream. Let me tell you something about my dream. My dream was big enough to engulf my family. My dream was big enough, and I would love to tell about your dream. I'm just saying, in my dream, and I believe that your dream has similar pieces to it, that it's big. How many of y'all say today that your dream is not just about you and you getting blessed? You want to see other people get employed, the world become a better place, an agent of change. That's unique. Not everybody has that same dream, but you do. You have that dream. I'm not going to do like God is telling Esther. He says, hey, I want you to be the deliverer. I want you to take this shot. Only you can see this from this angle. Take the shot, Esther. Who knows? It could be that it's for such a time as this. She went into this situation not even telling them the whole truth. She wasn't completely transparent. In fact, her uncle Mordecai said, don't tell them that you're a Jew because they will freak out. So she went in without full disclosure. She just went in with full favor, and it was for such a time as this. But God's basically saying, Esther, if you don't take the shot, I'll have somebody else do it. Do you know when I started here 10 years ago at the church with probably 180 people? I remember God telling me, he said, You're not my first choice. I picked somebody else, but they didn't obey me. But if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll use you in spite of your ability and in spite of your education. If you'll just listen, and I haven't done everything right by any stretch of the imagination, but the one thing I keep doing is saying, God, thank you for picking me. Don't pick anybody else, God. I love living this dream, God. Help me live this dream. God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me, David said. God, I love it. It's a dream. Your dream needs to be revived. Your dream needs to be revived. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too tall. I'm too skinny. I'm too short. These are all excuses. Inhale, blessing and favor, and exhale all the negativity out of your life. So what? They threw you in a pit. They had nothing to do with it. And if they knew how good it was going to be, and how good you were going to be to them when you showed up, Martin Luther, when you showed up, Esther, when you showed up, Joseph, then they would join in on the dream. But they can't see what you see because it's not their dream. They might even steal your recipe, but they can't bake your cake. They might try to steal your clients. They might try to steal your loved one, but they can't take it. See, when you're confident about your dream, I'm not worried about anybody else coming up here and preaching better than me. I know some people are going to preach better than me. But the one thing I do know is that I'm going to just be me. And since I'm being me, good luck trying to be me because people kind of like me. So if they like me, they may or may not like you. So you just be you. Chill. Relax. Stop worrying, too, about, oh, I got to hurry, I got to hurry, I got to hurry, I got to hurry. What if he was in the pit saying, I got to hurry, this is a delay. Write this down. A delay is not a denial. Just because it was delayed doesn't mean it was denied. There's been a lot of disappointments to my dream. A lot of disappointments to Martin Luther King's dream and what he had and what he knew he could be. And some things looks like, man, why is the devil fighting me so hard? Do you ever feel like that maybe you've had a lot of unfair breaks and life's been a little harder on you than the next guy? If you're hitting the devil head on, that's a good sign. You're not walking with him. People who say, well, I never have any problem out of the devil. Well, good luck. You're probably just hanging with him, just walking along the same way as the devil. But God's favor on your life, his dream for your life, should never waver. There was a guy from Kansas City, Missouri. He was a poor boy. His daddy actually didn't even really allow him to go to school much because they needed the money, and he had him deliver papers, and he was delivering papers in the wintertime. Can you imagine with big holes in his shoes walking through snowdrifts higher than he was? He was about this size right here. His name was Walt. And he began to talk to his imaginary friend, which had big, huge ears, and he named him Mickey. Mickey became his friend. He'd go to school, and because he was so messed up in the head and he couldn't focus quite right, the teacher would be thumping him and say, "Walt, you're never going to turn into anything if you don't do your school. You're sitting here drawing all these cartoons. That's ludicrous." Slapping him on the hands, hitting him on the head. But he refused to listen to them. He said, "I have a dream." He goes on to produce a little movie called Snow White, 100% over budget. But within a few weeks, he had paid the bank back. A couple months later, he says, "I have a dream to create a theme park that has nothing to do with this, except we're going to sell tickets." And if you've been to Disney World in Florida, that's 27,000 acres that this guy said, "My dream is so big, I see hotels, and I see an Epcot Center, and I see people coming in and buying a ticket for $100, and I see them buying an ice cream cone for $27. I see them spending every dime that they have on Mickey Mouse ears for $55. I'll be dead in the whole world. 54 million Americans a year will come. Give us our money." Because the man had a dream. He had a dream that was bigger than what they said you'll never be. No money, Kansas City, no shoes. It doesn't matter what happened to you. It matters what happens in you, and it will pull you to your destiny. You're coming out healed. You're coming out blessed. You're coming out living your dream. Come on, give God praise today in his house. Live your dream. You're called to do this. Who cares what they say? Who are they anyway? Here's what I found out about they. People come to me and they say, "They don't like it that you wear white shoes. They don't like it that you don't wear a suit. They don't like it that you did wear a suit. They don't like it that you talk so loud. They don't like it when you talk real soft." And when I drill down on they, I found out, and this will change your whole life, they is them. When I drill and I say, "Let's go talk to them," they can't produce them because it's them. Because the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats in your life. And those people that can't help cultivate your dream, they can't help manifest your dream, they're always squashing your dream, they're always throwing your dream in the ditch. Listen, your dream, they're not supposed to understand your dream. It's good, isn't it? He's got a dream. He's got a bright future. He's raised in the house of God. I've been knowing this kid since he's a little bitty baby. I know the plans God has for him. I know the plans God has for you. And you might be watching right now in the middle of the night going, "Who in the world is this guy and what is he doing?" And yeah, I don't like the white shoes either. To forget the white shoes. Get over those. That's just part of an old guy trying to be cool. I'm trying to have swag. And the last time I knew what swag was, it was Pat Boone and he had white shoes on. I'm confused. But God's speaking to you. Could it be that today you drove from all over, a Church of Lives worth the drive? Could it be that today you're watching and you go, "Wow, it is weird that he's speaking right to me"? Could it be? I'm telling you right now it is. It is God speaking through me to try to convince you. "I know the plans I have for you." He's in heaven going, "They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an assigned destination. And yes, you went through the pit, but you're on your way to the palace. If you don't break down, you will break through. With God, all things are possible. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread." Somebody ought to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at myself and realize ain't nothing left." I get confused. That's a rap song comes out of there. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Oh, clue, we got enemies. "Thou anointest my head with oil." I go to church to renew my mind. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I will dwell in the house." Wait, the house. That means you got to drive to church. I'm talking to you right now. Sunset Hills, I'm talking to New York City. I'm talking about people in Columbia, Illinois. I'm talking about people that are driving from all over. I'm talking all Palm Beach County. I'm saying a Church Alive is worth the drive. If you're watching me right now in Fort Lauderdale, Del Rey, Boca, every Thursday night, I'm in a high school blowing up my dream that God gave me to help you, so you need to dwell in the house. Get your mind right. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. Because where the mind goes, the man follows. Mind go to car lot for free hot dog. Mind smell new car smell. Mind figure out how to buy a new car. Come on, you all understand what I'm saying right now. Watch what you see. Keep your dream before you. If it was easy, everybody would do it. They don't get it because they're not you. You be you. Look at your neighbor and say, you be you, and I'll be me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? We got something going on. You have a unique thumbprint to leave an imprint nobody else can leave. And that's why here at all campuses today, at every church that I preached at today, I made everybody stand up in honor of a man who had a dream, who gave his life for it. One of the things I've noticed is that you will never attract what you curse. If you curse money, you'll never attract it. If you curse talent, you'll never attract it. If you curse beauty, you'll never attract it. I think in America, one of the problems that we struggle with is we have become familiar with some of the great dreamers. And as long as I'm the pastor of the church and it's MLK Day, we're going to stand up and we're going to give honor to where honor is due, because that man deserves the credit that he worked for. Now here's one of the keys to getting your life right is when you sow honor, you get honor. If you sow dishonor, you get dishonor. So sow honor in listening to somebody else's dream, and someday somebody will listen to your dream. And I'm only living my dream right now, and I wouldn't even know this little kid and watch him grow up if it hadn't have been for the power of television. If it hadn't have been for God putting a dream in my heart. And by the way, your dream didn't come from you anyway. You're like, this is my dream. Actually, it's a whole trick. The dream was never your idea. I came to that conclusion when I had 3 football fields worth of parking lot to repave and $8 million worth of roof air conditioners, and I realized, God, help me do what I'm supposed to do. God, oh, send the money. And then I realized, who in their right mind would want to do this? Hey, this isn't really my problem. This is your problem. You need air conditioners, and you need 3 football fields worth of parking lot. Good luck, Chuck. I'm going to bed. Because when he says, I will give you the desires of your heart, the desire wasn't your desire. He dropped the desire in your heart, and now he will finish what he authored. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm almost done. We're almost done. You did really good, too, by the way. I had several different people do this, and you were one of them. You were the good-looking one. You were the attentive one. They were all good. Every campus had the most incredible good-looking people. I mean, they were definitely selective about how they put up here, who they put up here. And I think I like his hat too, don't you? Give it up for the man's hat. Suspenders. This one even came loose. That can be dangerous. But as I close, check this out. A couple few words I want to say to you. This dream that you have is from God, and all the setbacks with inside the setback is a huge comeback. But if you get down in the mine and you get down the pits, however far you go down in that pit is how far you're going to have to walk up. It's not by accident God put me in your life today. The beginning of the year, churches are packed, everybody's here, balcony, look at everybody, everybody's here. Here's the difference that Walt had. Here's the difference Gandhi had. Here's the difference Oprah had. Here's the difference Joyce Meyer, molested by her dad sexually every day of her life. That should screw you up forever. But she took the mess and turned it into a message. She took, Oprah did, the test and turned it into a testimony. So the harder your life has been, I think, the bigger you're going to be. And I really, truly think this, that God really placed us in here and to get us focused to take the right shot in 2015. Because February, March, April, May, people will win. A lot of people are gonna fall off, and they get back in the church isn't that important. Going to church isn't that important. Listen, this is the most important. If you want Monday to go well, Sunday has to recalibrate and get you right with God to say, man, was I ever screwed up. I feel good. How many of y'all feel way better now than you did? Raise your hand. Even at home, raise your hand. All over the world, you feel better. Why? God speaking through me, a guy who doesn't have the education. I don't have the ability. The only thing I have going for me is, God, please use me to speak to your people. God, I really love Sam's, but I don't want to work there. That's all I qualify for, and they would probably fire me because I'm slow with computers and spell check. It goes, what are you even trying to say? I have one thing going for me, and that's this one dream that God gave me. And it's easy to stay focused on your dream when that's the only thing you can do. What is that one thing you know you got to do? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray for my friends right now. Number one, that they would ask you to come into their heart just by saying, Jesus, come into my heart. And number two, they would get involved in a good Bible-believing church, and not just any church, one that speaks to them. God, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger will not follow. God, I believe that there's a lot of people listening right now through podcasts and online and through television who'd say, man, that guy spoke to me. That just means I'm your pastor. That just means you're supposed to continue with me for a while so that your life gets better and greater and your dream is fulfilled. I'm here to help you with your dream. I pray blessings and peace on you in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.